Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As we move into the 4 o'clock hour here, it's a Patriots Monday. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, and we're joined in studio right now by, as his coach's words, not mine. You heard him just there anyway. Jacoby Brissett joins us here on the program now. Jacoby, we just heard what Gerard Mayo said there. I don't think that was fair. I think you're the slowest quarterback of any race.
We don't see color.
Yeah, right. But we don't see that around here. Not to steal a line from Young Thunder or anything.
Right.
That was yesterday, I think, a game that it seemed to me and to a lot of other people like a very significant day, not just for you and not just for this year's team, but the team in general, the franchise in general. That seemed like a real statement that you guys made. Did it feel that way?
Oh, for sure. In the style of game that we won and played, I think we executed our plan to the T. Obviously, things that we want to correct and things like that. But, you know, I think we played a complete team game. The first game of the season coming off of a hard training camp, you know, that's what you want to see. And I think we came out and executed that.
I don't want to throw you under the bus because I don't know if we were on mic or camera. But when you heard the cry thing, ask a question that makes him cry, you reacted just like that. Why'd you react to that way? Like,
wait, why did I laugh or why did I cry?
Why'd you laugh at the question? Like, are you embarrassed? Are you a crier?
Yeah,
are you
a crier? Sure.
All the time?
Not all the time. No, hell no. But I am a crier sometimes. Yeah, I cry sometimes.
Okay, so why'd you cry yesterday? A couple times, I guess?
Yeah, a couple times. Just the emotions of you know, walking onto the field, knowing I'm starting, hearing Gerard say that to me before the game, and then, and the moment finally got there, and it was like, all right, now it's here, you know. It's just a lot of build up to that moment, and was in the moment, you know, and those were the emotions that came out at the time.
Have you cried before in your NFL career? I ask this because, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
I'm not a crier. Like, sometimes I wish I was. Like, I'll get emotional, even at a movie or a song, and, like, I feel it coming, and then there's something that's like, don't do it, in my head. Have you cried before in your NFL career? Like, how does this...
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I've definitely cried before.
And do you think that's a good thing? Are you proud to represent, like, a strong male?
Yeah, I am. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to say that.
It's like five crying questions. I find it interesting, and he reacted to it. It's, you know, it's
that's
not
true.
Every time that your head coach and the quarterback have this moment in
for sure.
time that was special to both of them.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely special to me. And, like I said, I was in the moment, and those the emotions that came out. I wasn't going to try and hide it, you know?
You told everybody that you're mobile. You're like, people don't know this, but I can run. I can move around a little bit. You proved that yesterday. Were any of those designed runs, we were discussing this earlier, were they all pockets breaking down, I feel the pressure, I'm on the move?
Yeah, our coaches are smart enough to not design runs for me. So we have good players that I can hand the ball off to that we can design runs for, and I'm not one of them. So, yeah, none of them were design runs.
Okay, well, I think that answer, we got the answer there. I think we all expected that. The offensive line, obviously, there was a lot of talk about going into that, who was going to be playing where. There was a big change that got made in the middle of the game. How would you characterize the performance of that unit overall?
I think they answered a lot of questions. We gave up one short sack at the end of the half, which was on purpose so that the clock keeps running and we don't give them the ball back when we kick a field goal at it. So I think that was honestly, like, that's not a sack on them. You know, it's more so like on just the situation. So we gave up zero sacks in a game with, you know, really good pass rushers that, you know, the league is on notice. But they got Pro Bowlers at ends and got good interior guys, and they do a lot of different things with pressures and things like that. And I think those guys, you know, as far as from the pass protection game, you know, took over that part. And then obviously we saw what they did in the run game is in establishing the line of scrimmage and taking care of and giving our guys a chance to run with the ball. And I think they did a great job of that.
Ramondre Stevenson obviously was the beneficiary of that, although he did a lot, broke tackles, broke arm tackles, made people miss. Coach Mayo said he doesn't get the credit, Ramondre, that he maybe deserves. Internally, maybe you guys think he's one of the best backs in the NFL. Certainly put that out there. Just what did you think of his performance and who he is?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, I hadn't watched much Patriot football once I left, you know, the last couple of years. So I honestly didn't. I mean, I knew who he was, but I obviously didn't know, you know, the extent. And then obviously during training camp and practice, it's like, all right, oh, this guy moves well. You know, obviously we're not tackling him in practice and things like that. And then he got into the game, and I was just like, wow. Like, I was definitely like, I see what we thought, you know, and, you know, definitely was happy to see that and glad to see the plays that he made. And the funny thing was he come back to the huddle as if he didn't make some of those plays. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you always do this? But, you know, I was definitely, you know, had a good seat in the house for that.
What do you think your best ball of the day was? At what point did you feel like I really got a good look at this defense here?
I would say probably one of our biggest plays were, you know, the probably the pass to Hoop, coming from right to left. I think it was the third quarter, maybe fourth quarter. You know, right around the logo of the field. I think that was probably the biggest play off, like passing play, just because, you know, we had hit a lull in our offense and in the third quarter, kind of going three and out a couple times and, you know, putting our defense in a bad spot. And, you know, we needed to play in a passing game. Obviously, our run game was doing well, so we needed to play in a passing game. I thought that was one of the bigger plays in the game.
Do you feel like maybe you owe Hunter Henry like a dinner or something for knocking that ball out?
Oh, for sure. He knows the reward for that. So he definitely let me know. So it was. He's got to take care of.
All right. Oh, very nice. Good.
Yeah, for sure.
So idiots in the media, and I'll start with me, may have said at some point this offseason that wins were going to be tough to come by for this team. That, oh, they might only win 0-1-2 games. Did you guys use that in any way, hear that, and will you use that as motivation, chip on your shoulder moving forward?
I mean, you hear it, but I honestly don't think the guys in our room care, to be honest with you.
That's
because
hurtful.
Honestly, wins are hard to come by in this league,
right?
You know, and that's why they're so special, and that's why, you know, the emotions and the feeling that we had in the locker room after the game. Obviously, we're going into the game, you know, expecting to win and with the plan to win, and then, you know, we understand our goals and how the plan that we're trying to execute to win, and when it comes to fruition at the end of the game, it's just like, that's just how we drew it up, you know? And, it was a hard-fought game. And like we said, I mean, wins are hard to come by in this league.
Gerard Mayo said that, he said a lot of things, obviously, but he was talking about how this was a team win, how it seemed like everybody was sort of pulling in the same direction. Do you guys have a chip on your shoulder in that locker room based on what he was just talking about, sort of the common refrain and narrative when it comes to you guys and what's expected of you this year?
I think it's more of guys just want to go out there and play good football, play hard, play together. You know, I think you know, this win and this game definitely brought us closer together as a team, you know, in all three phases of the game. You know, we're seeing how, you know, if we play as one, you know, cohesive unit, you know, how that plays into our favor. So I don't, like I said, I don't think we pay attention to the outside noise. It's one game, honestly, and you know, we got a tough game coming up this week. So I think the guys are, they see the if we execute the plan, the results that are possible. So yeah.
The guys doused Gerard with Gatorade. What do you think that kind of said or represented? What was that all about?
I mean, it was a what is it, monumental moment in his career, his coaching career. You know, first game at that, you know, on the road in a tough place versus a really good team. You know, and goes out there and get a win, you know, and like I said at my press conference after the game, it's just like he laid out the plan to us before the game, before the week, you know, and I'm sure for him it's like an internal satisfaction of like, look, this was the plan I set out for the guys and they executed it. These were the results. As a coach, I mean, as a player, that's what you want, you know, and you know, he deserved that shower, you know, and I think like time froze and I wish I would have saw it, but we were on the field, but it was definitely a cool moment. I saw a video of it afterwards, and you know, we're all super happy for him.
All right, now you have to practice against that defense all week, so you know what it's like. Were the Bengals surprised that it looked like maybe by how tough that defense is? I mean, they barely missed a tackle the entire day. Like, you knew to expect that. Do you think they maybe caught Cincinnati off guard by how strong they were?
Man, I honestly don't know. I'm not in their locker room. I just know the training camp that we've had, you know, the work that we've put in and the coaching points that, you know, Gerard had throughout training camp has come into the team meeting and you know, announced to us, like, these are the things that we have to get better at. These are the things that we need to be good at. And, you know, when fundamentals of football is the things that he's, you know, harping on right now for us is taking care of our fundamentals. And so I can't really say what they thought about it there.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now, for what you can talk about, obviously, Alex Van Pelt, someone you worked with before, that was his first game calling plays. How would you characterize his day?
It was great. His communication was good, you know, to me, to the team, to the offense. And, you know, obviously he gives, you know, Mayo the plan for the offense that Mayo announced to us. And for him, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just like he laid out a plan for us and told us early in the week. It was like, look, we only need a couple runs, and we're going to run for however many yards we want to, and that's what's going to win us the game. He said that earlier in the week, and, you know, it came to fruition. And, you know, I was super another person that I was super happy for, get his first win, back calling plays, and you know, I'm just excited for him.
You mentioned camp and fundamentals. You've been around long enough to see sort of the evolution of training camps in summer, and it gets easier in some places, whatever. You guys, the defense was tackling, not missing tackles, which is a common opening day type issue. Yeah. The offensive line was moving people, controlling the line of scrimmage. Is it safe to say whatever Gerard did schedule-wise, drill-wise, practice-wise, worked? Because you guys came out and looked like a game-ready football team.
Yeah, I definitely think, like I said, guys, after like watching this game, guys, we're on the plane talking like, I see why we did that. Like, I see... You know, we're just talking about, like, running to the ball after the plays. You know, Doug gets a script on a goal line, and we're the only ones running to the ball, you know, before the ball comes out. So it's just things like that to where, you know, we emphasize those things in practice, and they come to fruition in the game, and guys are like, oh, that's why we're doing it, you know. And so I definitely think that, you know, the plan that we've had in training camp is helping us out right now.
All right, time for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This comes to us from Jay in Lincoln. He asked Jacoby, where does this rank on all the wins you've had as a starting quarterback? Where does yesterday rank?
Well, my first one of my career is obviously going to be one for forever. But
ran in that one, too.
Yeah, you used your legs in that one.
That's true.
Yeah. Maybe you're miscast.
Maybe, but it's definitely up there. You know, like I said, it's not far from number one, that's for sure. But it was definitely a special moment. You know, like I said, my obviously my emotions before the game were super high. After the game, they probably weren't much better. But, you know, it's definitely one of those wins where, you know, when I look back, I'll definitely remember this game.
All right, very good. Jacoby Brissett, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for coming down here, and good luck against Seattle this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Keep running.
That's Jacoby Brissett, the very mobile Jacoby Brissett, joining us here on a Patriots Monday. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. A lot of great stuff there from Mr. Brissett, who once again is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. All right, we're going to dive into some of the answers we got from Brissett just there. And coming up next, we'll be joined on the phone by Jonathan Jones, who had a big game in and of himself out there in the secondary as the Patriots defense did a real nice job limiting that passing attack by the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get the defensive perspective on it right after Tom Carroll.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Tells you what's trending. All right, as we continue here at Patriots Monday, it's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. We are live from Gillette Stadium on a Victory Monday. We just talked with Jacoby Brissett, and now it is time for our weekly talk with Jonathan Jones, which is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan Jones joins the show. Jonathan, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Feels good to be on a Victory Monday.
I bet it does. That was quite a victory. You guys on defense, especially in the secondary, really sort of imposed your will on a high-powered Cincinnati Bengals offense with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase both active. You guys did a great job of limiting those guys. What was the main point of attack? Like, what was the top thing on the whiteboard when it came to going after an offense with a quarterback and a wide receiver that are as well-regarded as those two?
Yeah, it was a tough challenge, but I think it started up front. You know, the guys up front controlling the run game, you know, not allowing them to have the option they wanted to run or pass, to kind of being able to control the line of scrimmage, getting some good pass rush, and they weren't able to hold up against our front, and we did a good job in the back end of covering.
One of the things you guys did really well, and I thought was one of the reasons you won the game, is tackling. And it sounds simple, it sounds stupid, but Opening day, sometimes tackling is a bit of an issue, and you guys were borderline perfect, whereas I think Ramondre broke a lot of tackles against the Bengals. To what do you attribute the fact that you guys came out and tackled so well on opening day?
I mean, you got to attribute that to Coach. You know, Coach Mayo just always puts the emphasis on fundamentals, and even in training camp, you know, that's something that we harp on day in and day out, is attacking the fundamentals, whether that's tackling, blocking. We did a good job with that throughout training camp, and obviously it showed up in the first game.
All right. A lot of people were talking online and everywhere else about the hit that you had on Iosivis. How did you diagnose that play, and how did it feel to get the first big hit of the season out of the way there?
Oh, man, they tried to set up a little wall play, fourth down, and swing it out there. I was able to come up quick and get the stop before the line of the game. So it was a good one to get in there and to make that big hit. Like I said, the first one of the season, a good fourth down stop to give us some momentum.
We've talked with you before about Christian Gonzalez, second year, doesn't have a ton of games under his belt. There's probably going to be some ups and some downs and some learning curves. But yesterday, it seemed like it was not one of the downs. It was one of the ups. He ran around with Ja'Marr Chase, supposed to be one of the best receivers in football, and held him pretty much in check. What'd you see from your young teammate?
Man, he's becoming consistent. You know, he's coming in every day, working hard, like I said, throughout training camp. And he's up for the challenge. And I'm excited to watch him grow, watch him develop, you know, day in and day out. You know, he works hard in practice. You know, there's some things that most people don't get to see. It's just the way he works at practice. And that translates to the game day, and I'm looking forward to it, you know, for the rest of the season for him.
We heard Jerod Mayo talk a lot before the game about conditioning and just, you know, basic stuff like that. It seemed like you guys were, towards the end of that game anyway, pushing that other team around. How much of a factor did conditioning play in your win?
I think it was a big factor. We pushed them around, and as towards the end of the game, I mean, you could tell it, and I think the last drive by the offense just kind of sums it up. You know, we knew we were running the ball. They knew we were running the ball. You know, everyone knew it came down to a run, and there was nothing they could do to stop the O-line from running and Ramondre from breaking tackles. I think, you know, the conditioning was just a big factor in that, and it plays to it. We played to it.
Keon White is quite an imposing figure, even as just a second-year player, was dominant up front against the Bengals, a real pain in the butt for Joe Burrow. Is that who he is? Is this a guy that we're seeing maybe a breakout sophomore season, just scratching the surface of what he can be?
Oh, man, he's got a lot of potential, a lot of potential. A relatively quiet guy in the building, but he works hard. He works hard, and like we spoke a few weeks ago, and I said some of those guys are going to have to step up, you know, in the absence of Judon, and he's stepping up and filling those shoes. I mean, he's good against the run. He can get pass rush. If he continues to build, he's going to be a problem for a lot of teams.
We certainly saw a lot of emotion from you guys on the sideline, a lot of emotion from Coach Mayo. You guys gave him the Gatorade bath. We asked Jacoby Brissett about this. As a defensive player, sort of knowing that was his specialty and that he's maybe taken the, you know, a little different kind of pride in the way that you guys played based on his area of expertise. What did that mean to win one for Coach in his first game?
Oh, man, it meant a lot. I mean, it meant a lot. I can tell. But what he pours into us, just his dedication to us, and we try to reciprocate that in our play, in our attention to detail. And so it meant a lot just to go out, fight for him, fight for each other, and come out with a win.
You know that there's going to be comparisons between Jerod Mayo and Bill Belichick. That's the way things work. One of the things that it looks like from afar that might be similar between those two guys that have a lot of differences is that they're very comfortable and confident in what they're doing, comfortable in their own skin, confident in what they believe in. Do you think there's some truth to that they're both cut from that similar cloth in that way?
Very much so. I would get questions all throughout the offseason of, you know, how I think, you know, Jerod, Coach Mayo was going to be, you know, as a coach. And I was like, he's going to be him. You know, he's going to be who he is, unapologetically himself. You know, every room he walks in, he is himself, and so that carries over, whether it's practice, games, media. I can sit back and truly say that he gets to be himself, he is himself, and there's some consistency in that.
Was there a point in the game, was there like one play that you can point to maybe, Jonathan, where you thought, you know, we have a really good chance of beating these guys, like this is really going our way? Like, was there one turning point that stuck out in your mind?
Well, I wouldn't say there was one turning point. I think, you know, there were several times within the game, I think, that we had the opportunity to kind of put them away, and I don't think we did, which is something, you know, we'll have to continue to build on. But, you know, from the beginning, we started early. We came out with a fast start, which was an emphasis for us to come out, play fast from the beginning and go out and fly around, and we did that. I think, you know, between the two drives that they had, we're able to move the ball. And that's not capitalizing, you know, on offense on that swing at halftime. There's a few chances where we had to put the game away. And that's something that we'll have to continue to work on and be able to do that.
In the old days, it was ignore the noise around here. But Coach Mayo has acknowledged at times, like, he realizes the external expectations aren't all that high for this team. Is it safe to say you guys maybe don't ignore the noise anymore and maybe hear it and just sort of ingest it and put it to use?
I don't know if that was ever realistic. You know, I know the old coach just got off of social media, so I think now he understands what we see and kind of what we're exposed to. But, you know, there's always, you know, criticism, whether you're doing well or not doing so well. And we understand that, you know, and that's what comes with the job. And it's, you know, it's our job to go out there and play to it, whether people aren't expecting us to do well and we go out there and prove them wrong, or people waiting on us to fall off, you know, in previous years and we prove them wrong. So you can't really ignore the noise. You hear it, but you don't let it affect you. I definitely can say that.
All right, you got the Seattle Seahawks coming up this weekend, first game at Gillette. I'm sure you're looking forward to playing in front of the home crowd. Have you already started looking at Seattle tape, and how do you plan on attacking that offense?
Oh, man, they have a good weapon from the running back to receivers, veteran receivers. And so we got our work cut out for us. You know, again, I think this, you know, first stretch early is some good offenses. And so we're excited for the challenge to play in front of the fans here at home and try to move to 2-0 and get a victory at home.
Is there a challenge in terms of trying to build momentum, build off of week one, but your head coach said it's just one game? Do you have to kind of make sure you don't get too ahead of yourselves or start reading your own clippings or just, you know, stick to the task at hand?
Oh, definitely. You have to stay level-headed. You know, that's what this league is, you know, week in and week out. It's a new opponent. And the thing is different from the first game to the rest of the games. You know, teams will have film on you. They'll know exactly what you're looking to form, how you're trying to play football, you know, where you're trying to attack both sides. And you have to understand that and know that they have film now. And so every week just presents a new challenge. And so we're excited for that.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Jonathan Jones, congratulations on a great win in week one, and good luck this Sunday at home against Seattle.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right, that's Jonathan Jones, who had so far the hit of the year on fourth down there to force a turnover, and just part of a great day overall by that Patriots secondary. And
what about Joe Cardona?
Cardona, that was a nice hit, too. That was a nice hit. That was a forced fumble. I guess this was more of a, I don't know,
a pop.
That was more of a pop, yeah. That was about like Peppers was doing that last year, you know? Like, Peppers had a couple of hits where you just were like, ooh. Like, Cardona's hit was nice, and he forced the fumble, but I didn't go, ooh, when I saw it.
That was an ooh, yeah. And there are those hits every once in a while you go, this is a barbaric sport.
Yeah,
it really
right.
is. Like, those are the reasons, like, this is
glad, I'm glad I don't play this sport.
Oh, 100%. And I wish his damn phone hadn't cut out. I knew it was BS to ignore the noise all along, and he finally admitted it, and Bill Belichick jammed his phone or something.
Stacey James. Yeah,
somebody started breaking it up. When they start to be honest, and immediately the phones break up.
Right, they hit an EMP or something.
Yeah.
Everything got scrambled.
Son of a...
I know. Hey, they haven't completely changed, all right? The regime hasn't completely changed.
True.
They still do some of that old stuff there. Let's talk a little bit about that secondary, because if they can do that against the Cincinnati Bengals, the scarier teams in the NFL don't seem quite as scary, do they? I mean, like, if you're talking about high-powered offenses, which is what you generally talk about when you talk about the NFL in 2024, you watch the secondary go out there and do that to just chase. I know Higgins didn't play, but, like, that's an all-world quarterback and an all-world wide receiver, and they couldn't do anything.
No, and the pass rush was a big part of it. But I also would say Christian Gonzalez played every snap.
Yep.
And Jonathan Jones was out there making plays. Marcus Jones had a big hit on the first drive, I think.
And he
maybe
recovered
third
the fumble
down.
Too,
yeah. So Marcus Jones flying around. So that's the foundation of your cornerback position. You know, we've talked about it like, there's not great depth. I don't know what that, but that's the foundation. And then you build on that, and you're going to need that because, as he said, starting with Seattle, it's starting to become a little bit of murderer's row here with weapons.
Yeah.
Where you're not just going to have to deal with one Jamar Chase. You're going to have to deal with two, three, four weapons on the other side of the ball that are looking to be matchup nightmares. And the safety position. They are what they are. They're big. They're athletic. But they may be matchup issues. So these corners are going to have to play. And the thing that I'm finding intriguing more and more is the knowing chuckle or whatever it is when you bring up Gonzalez. Like, they know he can be good.
Yeah.
And that doesn't guarantee he'll be good. Like, he has to put his work in. But they seem to be seeing that they like what he's doing in that area. And if that knowing chuckle comes to fruition, that's a really good thing for this defense. And I would include Keon White there. It's almost like you got these two guys where everybody's like, if that guy, he's got the possibility. Like, a guy like Jonathan Jones, no disrespect to him, but he probably looks at Christian Gonzalez and goes, wow, that talent. Like, I've made it through what I am.
Right.
I'm 5'9". I've worked really hard. I'm quick. But
like when Butler took over for Revis, you know,
right.
like that kind of thing. Yeah, like, you know, you know what you are and you know what your teammate is.
But you look at Christian Gonzalez, you go, he's 6 foot what? And he's run smooth and he can run with Jamar Chase in his fifth NFL game.
Yeah.
Like, and Keon White, the same thing. I think some of these guys look at it and be like, Dietrich Wise is probably saying, I've had a nice career. I can do things, but that guy, no wonder they're testing that guy when he gets back from the game. Like, and those things are intriguing on this defense because we've been talking about, you got to make up for Judon.
Yep.
You got to make up for Barmore.
Definitely.
Most likely all year.
And White can play inside. I mean, he's big enough. He can do that.
So you're kind of making up for it in a different way. Those chuckles that you get for these young second-year players, that draft last year with Gonzalez to White early is a little bit like we thought a couple years ago Mac Jones and Christian Barmore were.
Right.
And then the Mac Jones thing fell apart. But Christian Barmore's still great. Unfortunately, he's not out there. But last year's first-round pick, second-round pick, this defense – they could be the foundation that this defense is built on and around for a long time.
Yeah, certainly. And you got a taste of it yesterday. And I think that even in both of their rookie years, Gonzalez especially, White had some plays where he popped a little bit, but then he kind of, you know, he didn't see him as much. And there was obviously, you know, the other guys playing ahead of him. Now he's going to really get a chance to get showcased, to be sort of featured out there. And I think that, you know, you have the building blocks right now. And that's something we complained about with this Patriots team for a while. What's the foundation? What are you building on top of? You had a bunch of bad drafts in a row. You don't have any young talent. A lot of these guys are just getting released. Like, these are building blocks. These are foundational pieces.
I don't want to say this because we're coming off a win, but these are the kind of guys you can watch in losses and still say,
yeah,
it's kind of like my Red Sox perspective. It can still be a success. Because you're watching Casas and Rafaela and these guys and Duran, and you say, oh, no, we've got foundational pieces. Keon White talked a lot about last year thinking and, like, making sure he was doing what he was told to do and being in the right spot and the right technique and now just sort of playing. And I think that freedom and then the more aggressive approach that I think they are taking and are going to continue to take with DeMarcus Covington, he's a name we probably haven't mentioned enough.
That's a good point. Yeah, we really haven't mentioned them at
all. 2+ hours of this show. We gave out game balls, and we're talking about Alex Van Pelt and his first game as the coordinator.
I gave a game ball to the punter on the other team.
Yeah, you gave a freaking – take that game ball back and hand it to DeMarcus Covington. Because
if he can punt a ball 80 yards, I will.
How about he shuts down Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow?
True.
How about he has his team tackling like it's week 11, only it's week 1?
Mm-hmm.
How about he has his team with an energy and an effort and an attitude that I think the Bengals were not ready for? The Bengals looked like a team that believes extension of the preseason, the old Belichick thing. Like, we're the Bengals, and I know Jamar, and we'll just show up, we'll do this. And they didn't know it was they thought it was an exhibition. They didn't know it was a damn fight. And it was a damn fight from DeMarcus Covington's unit. So people like you need to respect DC.
All right, I will. I will just say this. When you talk about the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, you don't really think much of him, right? Because you know that the guy calling the plays is Andy Reid. Same with the
Dolphins. Who's calling the plays here?
I'm just saying you have a head coach who's a defensive-minded guy. And does that same thing apply when it's on the other foot, I guess, is the point.
He's not. If Gerard Mayo were calling the plays, like Matt Patricia in Detroit, be a different thing.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo is the CEO. He's the head coach. He's letting AVP and DC... We're just going to go with these acronyms now.
Sounds like it, yep.
Jeremy said? JS, do their thing in the three phases of the game and oversee it all. DeMarcus Covington called plays for the first time in the National Football League yesterday, and you gave a game ball to the other team's punter.
I sure did.
Get the hell out of this studio right
some
now.
Some impressive punting. Come on. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's see here. I think we have, we have one call on the line. It's GC in Maine.
GC.
Did he drop off?
DC. It's JS.
AJ. AJ in Maine. Sorry, it said GC. AJ is in Maine. Go ahead, AJ.
How did AJ?
I don't know.
How's it going? How you
AJ
doing,
in
guys?
New Hampshire. Oh, no, it's AJ in New Hampshire. How you doing, AJ?
I'm not doing bad.
That was a good win yesterday. I just want to know what you thought of the online the O-line play and whether it could be sustainable moving forward and whether like that's just the formula is to bring in the extra offensive tackle on like 70% of the possessions.
Okay, AJ, thanks for the call. We're going to let you drop there because I don't know what's going on in the
Sounds
background.
Sounds like crap.
A lot of stuff going on in the background with the callers today.
Yeah, what is it?
I hope
sure it's not us.
I hope our listeners are okay.
Sure it's not us.
We think he was at McDonald's, actually.
I'm not sure anything. I don't know if it was us or
he
what.
He was picking up some food.
That could very well be
it. Speaking of which, I need to thank Matt Morrell real quick.
Yeah,
not only is he producing down here, but I forgot my lunch and he ordered lunch and I would not have made it. Angry Andy, hangry Andy. Andy would have come out about this point in the show without it.
There you go. He asked about the offensive line. I thought that was the biggest surprise of the entire game, honestly. I know they weren't perfect and that Brissett had to move around a lot, as we just talked about.
You got hit.
And you did get hit a few times.
Am I the wet blanket if I say I want it to be better than that? That was a good start.
I want it to be better than that, too, but it was better than I was expecting.
Yeah, because you were expecting poop show.
Yeah, I think we all were. I mean, I think everybody was.
Oh, I was, too, yeah. And it wasn't.
No.
But I don't want to pretend that was, you know, a Pro Bowl offensive line performance and just road grader. I'm going to give you the numbers again.
I don't think anyone's calling it that either, though.
So, Ramondre Stevenson.
Yes.
Got 118 of his 120 yards after contact.
Yes.
So he was contacted before he gained any yards.
That's not necessarily true.
Right?
I mean, he was in some cases, but he could have gotten yards after contact after he broke through the line.
No, because then he would have more yards before contact instead of two. He had 2 yards before contact. 118 of 120 was after contact.
Oh, is that right? Okay, I didn't realize.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Yeah,
that's a lot.
Numbers work.
Never mind.
And the line was good. I don't want to take it away from him, but we talked about it earlier. Jacoby had to be a smart quarterback. He had to make decisions and run and survive and do some things. The line needs to be better. Now, some of that was cleared up after, I looked at it a minute ago, after they got the 17 snaps or whatever the hell it was of 12 snaps of Chukwuma Okorafor. Got him the hell out of there. That may have changed the numbers a little bit for both guys. But that line, good starting point. Now get better. Be better. And, yes, do I think – because I thought they were going to rotate more. They didn't. The only place they swapped up was – they didn't rotate at all, actually.
Right,
they
swapped everybody out. Everybody else stayed where they were.
These four stayed the same. They got rid of Okorafor, who couldn't block, who I'm not big on PFF, but apparently I saw on Twitter they gave him a 0.0 grade.
It started off as like a 1.7, and then they adjusted it to a
0.0, as they say.
I think I could do that.
Yeah, I think you could.
I think I could.
It's doing nothing. It's being useless.
I could not play and still do that.
So the other four guys stayed out there the whole time, and then you got Lowe out there, and it kind of settled in. You brought Wallace in for his roles in the heavy packages and all that. So – if I see that same performance in a – first of all, if you put up that same performance in, say, San Francisco, he may die. We may get May. He's already sore. He already joked about it when I said, keep running, and he's like, no.
I'm good. He took that one pop where he was going to slide, and then he got hit. I was like, ooh, I hope he gets up from that.
Not for long, League, if you keep getting hit too many times.
Oh, we have some sad news. Sad news in the world of sports, in a way. James Earl Jones just passed away, 93 years old.
He had a good run.
The voice of Field of Dreams and the blind neighbor in the Sandlot with the dog. He was also, he had all those
and
little...
Darth Vader.
And also Darth Vader. And many other things.
And CNN.
Talking sports movies, guys.
Oh.
All right, that's why.
Okay, well...
In a nerd studio. Show.
Darth Vader.
That's true.
CNN.
He certainly was Darth Vader.
This is baseball, Ray.
Yes.
He had a lot of things.
And those AT&T commercials.
Oh, anyway. Yeah, those old ones.
Rest in power, James Earl Jones. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, Dak Prescott signed a big contract. We have some thoughts on the rest of the NFL, the QB market, and this game tonight with the Jets and the Niners. That's all coming up next. That was Jacoby Brissett from earlier today. We spoke with him right around 4 o'clock. And he had that to say. What were you laughing at, by the way?
No, I was not laughing at the length of your question.
I wasn't. It was sort of a long question, but it was like the first question. I was trying to set up the interview. I was trying to set the scene.
I was actually laughing a little bit.
It was a little wiggy-ish, but not quite.
And very dramatic. That was a big win, not just for the team, but for the organization as a whole. Like, it just... And then he agreed, which I was even a little surprised by, I guess. I mean... It was a big
win. I was going for a little drama there. Yeah, I mean, I think
you
it was.
You
know,
got it. Yeah. You built it up, and he agreed with it. So, you know, that's interesting because the flip side would be, like, if they had lost, would it have been a big deal?
No, because everyone expects them to.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been. I think it would have been what people expected to have.
Right. You're expected to lose, but by winning, Huh.
Yeah.
Are you better than we thought? Do you accelerate some sort of curve or, you know, timeline?
Now, if they had lost 17-16, I think Patriots fans would have been fine with that. You know, I think they would have been like, oh, a win would have been nice. But, wow, look what that, look, they held that team to 17 points. Of course, the offense didn't do much. But when you win, but, you know, the offense not doing much isn't as big of a problem.
And that's where I think it would have tainted something. I don't know if we would have callers saying that offensive line, if that's how good they're going to be, it's time to play Drake May. Like, that's a good offense. Like, I think some of that may have been tempered a little bit, but they got the win, and Jacoby Brissett admitted that it was a big win because it was a big win for just for everybody. The people we're talking about, the game balls people.
Yeah.
The quarterback, the general manager, the head coach, and all the coordinators. They did their jobs. I'll throw Scott Peters in there, too, because you adjusted on the offensive line.
Yep.
And I don't know who made that call. Maybe Mayo said, hey, Scott, get Okorafor the hell out of there. Yeah. I don't know. I probably could have asked, but whatever. But they made those adjustments. They made the game plans that, like, the way you heard it, I don't want to keep doing this, but it is what it is. That was Belichickian.
Yeah.
Gerard told us early in the week what we needed to do.
Yep.
And then it unfolded the way he said it was going to unfold, and we won. Right? Isn't that what we gave Bill Belichick credit for years?
Absolutely.
Players would say, he tells you what you need to do to win, and then when you do it, you win.
Yeah.
So Gerard Mayo did that. So there was definitely threads of... He grew under Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
8 years as a player, 5 years as a coach.
Bill Belichick type of win last night. Or yesterday.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really was.
Like, including the luck, I would add.
Yeah. The luck
there
was there.
There were plenty of Bill wins that involved some luck.
The other team crapped themselves a little bit. Like, there was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like a Tom Brady game. I don't think anyone's going to mistake it for that. But in terms of, like, the way the dominoes kind of fell over the course of the 3 hours or whatever, you had, you know, a quarterback kind of managing the game. You had the run game really doing a lot there, and you had the defense just putting on a show like that. That was a rock fight, grind it out kind of game against the high-powered offense, and those are the games Bill loved. I mean, that was exactly the way he liked to win those
games.
And
even more so, like, finish plays.
Yeah.
You know, if we swarm to the ball, we'll make plays. It's early in the year. I know teams early. Like, I feel like there's some of that to it, too. If we're the faster, more swarming physical team, at some point in that game, it'll pay off. And it did.
It did.
Right? And you know, they're talking about that, standing around. We're faster to the football when the ball's on the ground. There's other guys standing around. Now, I think they were standing around because they were like, hey, we scored a touchdown. Wait, how did we not score a touchdown? What is that jackal doing in the middle of the field?
Yeah.
But no, there was definitely a Belichickian flair. Can I give you my question that I asked Fitzy he didn't have an answer for?
Sure.
So if it's Belichickian, what is the new version?
Mayoic? Mayotic? Like chaotic?
I didn't know if it was Mayan.
Mayan?
M-A-Y-A-N.
M-A-Y-A-N, Mayan, Mayan.
Mayoan?
Myopian? That sounds like a part of the anatomy.
I have succeeded. Tubes. The myopian tubes.
Myopian tubes.
I've succeeded in making us all sound dumber.
Yes, definitely.
Mayoan.
Mayoan?
Mayoan?
Mayoan.
Yeah.
Belichickian Mayoan. A Mayoan victory.
It was a Mayoan victory.
I don't think anyone will ever say or write that.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really work.
Let's start it now.
Belichickian. Now that's
people say it all the time.
Yeah, that's something. But Mayoian is, I don't know. That doesn't sound like anything.
Gerardian?
Gerardian, that's a little better. You know, the syllable-wise, I think that works a little bit better. But I'm not in love with that one either, I got to be honest with
you. Now that I've dumbed it down, we can move on.
Okay, very good. Let me ask you this. They played smart football. We're dumb right now, but they played smart football yesterday. They played strong defense. How far can that take them?
You're asking me? I feel like you're setting me up now.
No, I'm not. I'm just
Can we wait till Tuesday before we set me up?
No, I'm asking you. We're doing the show today.
Okay.
I'm not trying to set you up to say something dumb. I'm just saying, like, that was
a big
part of how they won the game. Is that something? I mean, it's the first week. You know, teams are eventually going to shake the cobwebs off. That seemed like a very cobwebby team there
Absolutely.
In Cincinnati. I'm just sort of asking, like, in today's NFL, strong defense and not, you know, screwing around with the football, you can win games that way. Like, how many games can you win by playing like that all year?
Four
or five. All right.
Okay. But that feels negative after a 1-0 start.
I would say more than that, because I didn't expect them to even be able to do that.
But are you going
to
beat the 49ers that way?
No.
You're going to beat the Jets that way?
We'll see what they look like tonight. You know, I mean,
I know everybody wants, but they get a lot of firepower. That's a good team. It's not one guy out there after food poisoning or whatever the hell was going on with Jamar Chase.
True.
Now, the comparison might be, we might see Aaron Rodgers and say, he doesn't look quite right.
No.
Just like Joe Burrow didn't
look
quite right.
Too much ayahuasca.
Yeah. Well, also, he's coming off a freaking torn Achilles at 40 years old or whatever the hell he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's reasons, but there's also teams with a lot of talent. And the Bengals didn't have a lot of talent on the field. Like, I know it's just T. Higgins, but you're a duo receiver team that was a uno receiver team.
Yeah.
Like, you lost one of your big guns. But that gets back to, do you really believe it's all about not losing? That's what it gets back to. Or do you actually have to win sometimes?
I mean, you have to be to win a championship.
No,
I mean,
no, I'm just talking about to win, you know, 500 per.
To be a 500 team? Yeah.
I think you have to win.
In this division, it has to be more than that.
That's what I look at.
You got all these tough teams in your division.
Absolutely.
You have to be better than that.
If you took this team, picked it up, and moved it to the NFC South, I would say, smart, run the football, turn it over, play physical defense, you might be able to win the division.
8-9, you can win that division.
Right. In the AFC East, I think there's a lot of people that were debating whether this is a two-playoff team or a three-playoff team division, right? And could they all win double-digit games and all be in the January pool there? So I think you have to win games. And even in the AFC in general, you know, are the Chargers a last-place team? They're one of your last-place teams. What did they do yesterday?
Yeah, they beat the Raiders.
Yeah, but they won.
And then there were about 25,000 fights in the stands. You see all those fights?
I did.
I've never seen so many fights.
What are we doing?
In a single game.
Why are there so many fights?
That Raiders charge, that was unbelievable.
Why are there so many fights?
I'm not sure. Maybe they were, they used to be the L.A. Raiders, so maybe there was a little bit of that going on there. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you.
And I know drinking is involved.
Those guys were wailing on each other.
Yes.
Inside the stadium, outside the stadium. Jack Jones is fighting the Chargers.
The one guy that,
it was a violent, violent game in and on and off the field.
One guy upended a woman. Like, he, like,
I didn't see that.
Flipped her down. Like, he grabbed her legs and, like, flipped her down. He was a big dude, too. Jeez. And then he got out of there. But, yeah, I know, Andy, it's a violent environment because it's football, so it's kind of in the air. And then they're drinking. But, I don't know. Does this happen at every boxing match? There's drinking and violence at those.
Sure.
Are people not passionate enough about the two people in the ring where they don't start popping off? Is it just hothead fans that can't take?
Yeah, I don't know. Boxing match, like, I feel like it's less of a chance you're going to run into a fan of the other team because they're wearing their color, you know, like it's very obvious who enemy is and
Yeah, but they're not really the enemy.
They're the sports enemy. The sports enemy, right.
They're not the, I'm going to whoop your ass enemy.
Until they start chirping during the game.
Oh, chirping means hit them?
Yes. You tell me. I'm not saying I'm hitting them. I'm saying there was about 35 fights at that game.
How about
game.
Just chirp?
And they probably started with some chirps.
How about chirp back better? How about be more creative
chirp
in your chirping?
Better. I think we're going to hear that tomorrow night in the debate. 779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. We'll reset on the Patriots scoring their first win of the season here. First win for Jerod Mayo. First win for a lot of people. The biggest surprise, play of the games, and the ever-shifting narratives. We'll get to all that next.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.